ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರು ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಅಥಾಥೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸಾ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯತಃ. ಸೊ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಸೂತ್ರ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಸೂತ್ರಂ ವಿ ಸಾ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಇಂಟ್ರೊಡಕ್ಷನ್ ಟು ದ ಸ್ಟಡಿ. ಇಟ್ ಇಂಡೈರೆಕ್ಟ್ಲಿ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೆಡ್ ಅನುಬಂಧ ಚತುಷ್ಟಯ. ನೌ ದಿ ಸ್ಟೇಜ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿಚಾರ. ನೌ ವ್ಯಾಸಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಎಂಟರ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಂ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್. ಸೊ ದಿ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಸೂತ್ರ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ದಿ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಅಧಿಕರಣ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ನೋನ್ ಆಸ್ ಜನ್ಮಾದಿ ಅಧಿಕರಣ. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸೂತ್ರ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅಧಿಕರಣ ದಿ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಈಸ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಲಕ್ಷಣ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಡೆಫಿನಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್. ದೇರ್ಫೋರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸೂತ್ರ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಲಕ್ಷಣ ಸೂತ್ರ. ಅಂಡ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ವೆಲ್ ನೋನ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಾಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಸೇಸ್ ಲಕ್ಷಣ ಪ್ರಮಾಣಾಭ್ಯಾಮ್ ವಸ್ತು ಸಿದ್ಧಿ. ಎನಿ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಎಸ್ಟಾಬ್ಲಿಷ್ಡ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಥ್ರೂ ಟೂ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟರ್ಸ್. ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಲಕ್ಷಣಂ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಒನ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ. ಪ್ರಮಾಣಂ ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಎ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಇಫ್ ದಿ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಸ್ಟಾಬ್ಲಿಷ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ವೆನ್ ದ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಿದ್ಧಂ ದೆನ್ ಅಲೋನ್ ದೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಿಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಎನ್ಕ್ವೈರಿ ರಿಗಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್. ಸೊ ದಿ ಎನ್ಕ್ವೈರಿ ಆರ್ ಅನಾಲಿಸಿಸ್ ಪ್ರೀ ಸಪೋಸಸ್ ಸಿದ್ಧಿ. ಸೊ ದಿ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವಸ್ತು. ದಸ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ವಿ ರಿಕ್ವೈರ್ ದಿ ಲಕ್ಷಣಂ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಟು ಎನ್ಕ್ವೈರ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ವಿ ನೋ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವಿ ಮೇಕ್ ದ ಎನ್ಕ್ವೈರಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಈವನ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿ ಎನ್ಕ್ವೈರಿ ವಿ ನೀಡ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ. ಸೊ ನೌ ವಿ ಮೇಕ್ ಎನ್ಕ್ವೈರಿ ಇನ್ ಟು ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ನೋ ದ್ಯಾರ್ ಈಸ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್. Therefore, we require Brahman Siddhi for inquiry. And for Brahma Siddhi, we require Brahma Lakshanam and Brahma Pramanam. This is the sequence. That's why I'm repeating this. And in the second sutra, Vyasa gives Brahma Lakshanam. And in the third sutra, he gives Pramanam. And in the fourth sutra, we get Brahma Vichara. That sutra is called Tattu Samandayat, one of the very important sutras. And in this context, I will very briefly mention Shankaracharya's discussion at the end of the first sutra commentary, which I skipped at that time because now it is relevant in this context. Vyasacharya starts Brahman inquiry and now the Purvapakshi, he asks the question, are you talking of a Brahman that is known or unknown? Whether it is a Jnata Brahma Vicharahava, or Ajnata Brahma Vicharahava, that is his question. And Shankaracharya says, either way, inquiry is not required. If Brahman is unknown, how can you make an inquiry? Unknown Brahman cannot be inquired into. And Brahman is not unknown, it is known through Veda Pramanam. That is why the word Brahman is familiar only to those who are familiar with the Vedas. If Vedas are not there, one cannot talk about a thing called Brahman. Therefore, Acharya says, when a Vaidika studies Veda, one comes to know that there is something called Brahman because Veda says, Brahma Veda Brahmaiva Bhavati, Brahma Vit Apunoti Param, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, all these sentences. And then he says, the very Brahman indicates the existence of an entity also. Not only I know it is there, but also know it is big. It is infinitely big. Because the word is derived from the root brih, brihate, brahmate, briddhi. So briddhi artatvad, all these meanings. So brih means briddhatu, indicates expansion or bigness. And the word Brahma means the big. I come to know there is a big entity. Not only that, Acharya says, the very word big is a relative word. its meaning will vary from situation to situation. For example, the size of a mountain, or a house, or a person, an animal, or an insect, or a microbe, all are relative. Therefore, the dimension of bigness, the adjective, is defined by the noun here. Normally, we talk about the noun being qualified by an adjective. But now we say the adjective or the dimension of the adjective depends on the type of the noun. And when the Upanishad talks about Brahman, it uses a term big, not as an adjective, but it uses it as a noun itself, the big. So what is Brahman now? It is not big X or big Y, but it is the big. That means what? There is nothing to condition the bigness, because here the big itself is used as a noun, Brahma. So there is no adjective to condition the bigness. That is the first point you should know. It is unconditionally big, which means it is infinite. Just as we use existence as a noun and not as an adjective, referring to Brahman. This we have seen it earlier also. So therefore we find in the scriptures, adjectives are converted to nouns to say that we are not talking about relative things, but the absolute. Similarly, consciousness. Conscious we use as an adjective generally, but in Vedanta we use consciousness as noun. Therefore Shankaracharya says at the end of the first sutra bhashyam, which I skipped, based on Veda Pramana I come to know that there is an infinitely big entity called Brahman. And then he says further, naturally when I hear about an infinitely big entity, I doubt the very existence of the entity itself, because I have never experienced an infinitely big thing. I have experienced things which are finite, time-bound, space-bound. Therefore, I get a doubt regarding its existence. And therefore, to remove that doubt, the scriptures say, Brahman is Atma. Brahman is myself. That means I should never doubt the existence of Brahman. Why? It will be doubting my own existence. Nobody doubts whether I am or not, because the very doubt presupposes my existence. Doubter cannot be doubted, because doubt cannot exist without a doubter. So Acharya says, very famous statement he says there, na kaschit nahamasmiti pratyeti. No one says I am not there. Therefore, there is no doubt regarding Atma Astitvam, the existence of Atma. Therefore, no doubt regarding Brahma Astitvam. So such a Brahman I come to know through Veda Pramana. Therefore, the inquiry is into known Brahman only. It is not unknown Brahman. We have known from the Vedas and the Purvapaksha asks now, if Brahman is already known from the Vedas, why should you make an inquiry at all? Purvapaksha, you know, he asks all wrong questions. Then Brahma Sutra need not be studied. The book itself is not required. Then Shankaracharya says, Shastra says there is Brahman and that Brahman is Atma. And my problem is what? What is this Atma or who am I? That is not clear. I don't have the clear knowledge of myself. It is because different philosophers have different contention regarding I, the self. The Charvaka says, I am the body. He says, who has seen the Sukshma Shariram? Who has seen the Sukshma Shariram traveling? He says, mind is an electrical phenomenon of the brain. It is not a substance. Therefore, what is thought? What is thinking, consciousness, emotion are all the brain's electrical phenomena only. That is the argument of the Charvaka philosopher, material scientist. Unnecessarily, you complicate by introducing the Sukshma Shariram, its travel. Actually, when I say all these things like Sukshma Shariram and travel, I expect people to be reasonably familiar. Otherwise, please refer to Tattvabodha. So taking another body, which nobody knows. He says, body is the Atma, who the Charvaka says. Some others say, sense organs are Atma. The Buddhist says, mind is the Atma. In Dakshinamurti Sotram, Acharya said, Deham pranam apindriyan apichalam buddhincha shunyam viduhu. Sri Balanda Jadopasa, the Jadopamat, as Swahamitim, Branta, Brishamvadinaha. So Nayayika says there is self which is beyond the body mind complex. And it is Atma, which are many. Every individual has Atma. Why then these Advaitins talk about only one Atma? So they talk about many Atmas. And each Atma is infinite in size. Aneka vibhu atmanaha. Your Atma pervades mine, mine pervades yours. And not only that Atma is karta, Atma is bhokta cha. It does action, it is also enjoyer of actions. So all deal with what? Who am I question? Then the Sankhya and Yoga philosophers, they come and say, there are many Atmas. They are all pervading, but Atma is karta, but Atma is only bhokta. Bhokta, body is karta, mind is karta, but Atma is bhokta. Atma enjoys, that is their argument. Of course, finally, there is Vedanta, Vedanta Atma, which is Ekaha, Sarvagataha, Akarta, Abhokta cha. Thus, regarding Atma, so many confusions are there. Therefore, Shankaracharya concludes, enquiry is required. And what was Purvapakshi's inquiry? Brahman is known or unknown. So unknown Brahman cannot be inquired. Known Brahman need not be inquired. But what is our answer? Brahman is neither totally known nor totally unknown. But it is unclearly known from the Shastram. And therefore, apata jnanam vartate. Apata jnanam means partial. Or unclear knowledge, or paroksha jnanam. They say also. Therefore, Brahman being unclearly known, Brahma vichara is required to convert unclear knowledge into clear knowledge. So Acharya shows there is this pramana for Brahman, which is Veda pramanam. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya says, Brahma lakshanam api asti. Brahma lakshanam also is there. Now we will go to one more topic. These are all done under general analysis of the sutra. As I told you earlier, we will do general analysis, word analysis, and conclusion. So now we give the general analysis. And then for the second sutra, we are going to see that. And here we see it as a Brahma Lakshana Sutra, as I mentioned earlier. Lakshanam is required for what? Brahma Siddhihi. Now this Lakshanam, our definition, is again of two types. One is called Swarupa Lakshanam and the another one is called Tatastha Lakshanam. When an object is defined through its intrinsic feature, it is called Swarupa Lakshanam or direct definition. And when an object is defined through its incidental or temporary features, which is not intrinsic to that object, then it is called Tatastha Lakshanam. Tataha means bank of a river. Staha means remaining. So tatastaha means that which remains on the bank. It is not part of the river or inside the river, but aloof from the river. So from this expression in the Shastras, tatastaha means something that is away, that is aloof, that is incidental, that is not intrinsic nature. That is called tatastha lakshanam. So for swarupa lakshanam, one laukika example normally we give is what? Prakrishtaha, Prakashaha, Chandraha. Moon is that object most luminous, brightest in the sky. This is the example they give. We use the definition of Prakrishta Prakashaha for moon. So many luminaries are there in the sky, so many stars and all. Through brightness, we had defined moon then. Because the one in the night sky, the one that looks the brightest is the moon. Brightness of the moon is intrinsic feature of moon. Let's not use science here. This is how Shastra defines. Brightness of the moon is intrinsic feature of the moon. Whenever I experience the moon in the sky, it is bright. So it is intrinsic. Or in Shastra, when you say Brahman is jnanam, then that jnanam is intrinsic feature of Brahman. So it is swarupa lakshanam of Brahman. So Sat Brahman is swarupa lakshanam of Brahman. Anandam Brahman, Swarupa Lakshana. So since Sat, Chit, Ananda, they are all intrinsic features. Therefore, what is Swarupa Lakshanam? Swarupam Sat Vyavartakam. Swarupa Lakshanam is Sat Vyavartakam. It is the intrinsic feature of an object which defines an object. Now we will see an example for Tatastha Lakshanam. When you show Devadatta Graham, actually in Shastras and all, they give names like Devadatta and all, not all modern names that we are used to. So somebody wants to know the house of Devadatta in a village or town, whatever place. You can define by telling the features of the house. If I tell the intrinsic feature of the house, it is Swarupa Lakshana. And I find, for example, in developments these days, they build not one or two houses, hundreds of houses, and they are all almost carbon copies. So I find all houses are built similarly. I have to give some other identification. And I see, for example, a crow sitting on Devadatta's house. So I say to a stranger, Kakavad Graham. Devadatta Graham is that. I have defined his house as the one on which a crow is sitting. So crow is incidental feature of the house. So for example, when the crow goes away, it will not be Devadatta's house anymore. And if the crow shifts also the house from one house to the another, then that house will become Devadatta's house. Therefore, I have made use of an incidental temporary feature to define a house. Therefore, Tatastha Lakshanam is Kadachittam Sat Vyavartakam. Kadachit, Kadachit Bhavati Iti Kadachittam. Kadachittam means Kadachit Bhavati. So crow is Kadachittam and not Swarupam of the house. So Kadachit means it's anityam. The worldly example is Kakavad Graham, Devadatta Graham. And what is the Shastric example? Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman. It is Jagat Karanam Brahma. Brahman is that which is the cause of the universe, Jagat Karanam. We should know it is a Tatastha Lakshanam or Swarupa Lakshanam. That is the question we should ask. Whether world is intrinsic or incidental feature of Brahman is the question. We know world is only incidental. Before creation, there was no world. After Pralaya, there will be no world. So, Jnana Anantaram para Videga Muktaham Sarvada Nasti. After gaining self-knowledge, Sarvada Nasti, nothing is there. Therefore, world is only an incidental feature or Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman. And the second sutra presents Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman. So Brahma Tatastha Lakshana Sutram is the second sutra. We said Brahma Lakshana Sutram, and particularly Brahma Tatastha Lakshana Sutram is the second sutra. Now we will see the general overall meaning of the sutram now. The sutra is what? Janmadyasya Yataha. That is the sutra. This sutra is grammatically incomplete. Therefore, we supply two words to complete this sutra. And we can ask the question, why can't Vyasacharya himself add those words? Because sutram should be alpaksharam, asandigdham, all those definitions we saw. It should have minimum number of words. It should have minimum words as much as possible. Therefore, whatever word can be revealed through implication, Vyasacharya will not write it explicitly. Therefore, it is our job to supply. Actually, it is in Sanskrit, it is called Adhyaharaha. Supplying the missing element to complete the sutra grammatically. Entire sutra literature will involve Adhyahara. Because the author will not complete depending on the context. For example, I go to a hotel with a friend. And I tell the server to give him a cup of coffee. And then I say to him, to the server, give me also one. When I say that, it is implied, give me a cup of coffee only, not anything else. So here, what is Adhyahara? Tad Brahma. Tad Brahma, the two words we have to supply. So the final sentence will be, Janmadi Asya Yataha Tad Brahma. Actually, we can add one more word also, Bhavati, to make it even more clear. So Brahman is that from which the origin of the world, etc., takes place. In simple Sanskrit, Srishtyadi Karanam Janma. Janma means Srishti here. Srishtyadi Karanam and Janma means Srishti. And etc. Etc. includes Sthiti and Laya Karanam also. Therefore, what is the final definition of Brahman? Jagat, Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam, Brahman. Brahman is that from which origination, existence, and resolution of this universe takes place. And the sutram is what? Janmadi Asya Yataha. And this sutra gives Brahma Lakshanam, he said. To be specific, we give the Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahma. And the word Asya, Asya means of this. It's used as a pronoun, Asya, Asya Jagataha, of this world. And Yataha, from which cause, Tad Brahma, that is Brahman. So final meaning is what? Brahman is the cause. From that cause, the origin, etc. of the universe takes place. Simply put, it is Jagat, Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam, Brahma. This is the general meaning of the whole sutra. Now we will see two more points also in the general analysis. We have not come to word analysis yet. General analysis. As we said, Brahma Sutra is what kind of grantha it is? Nyaya Grantha. So we said it's a Nyaya Grantha, a book of logical analysis. Therefore, every sutram presents a logical statement. Nyaya and Anumana Vakyams. These terms should be familiar by now to us. So the Nyaya Vakyam is Brahma Asti, Lakshana Sattvada, Dharmavata. Brahman exists, Brahma Asti, because there is Lakshanam, Lakshana Sattvada. For Brahman, just as Dharma, Dharmavata. So Yatra Yatra Lakshana Sattvam, Tatra Tatra Vastu Siddhihi. Because Lakshana Pramana Abhyam Vastu Iti Nyayena, I started this lecture, today's lecture, with that statement only in the beginning. So Lakshana Pramana Abhyam Vastu Siddhihi. Therefore, Brahma Asti Lakshana Sattvatem Gatavate, like a part. And once we prove the existence of Brahman through Lakshanam, then we can do inquiry of Brahman. Since Brahma Vichara is impossible without Brahma Siddhi, as we said earlier, the second sutra talks about Brahma Siddhi. This is the Nyaya Vakya. Then Vishaya Vakyam of this sutra we have to see. We said Brahma Sutra is not independent work of Vyasacharya that we established earlier itself. This is analysis of Veda Anta Vakyani. Vedanta Vakyani, Veda Anta Vakyani. No idea is of Vyasacharya here at all. He only analyzes the Veda Vakyam. Therefore, he should keep an appropriate Vedanta Vakyam in mind when he writes a sutra. So he does not explicitly state. What is that statement? He doesn't explicitly state in the sutra. Therefore, different commentators get into different opinions also about the Veda Vakyam. Fortunately for us, we have Shankaracharya. He gives the Vishaya Vakyam wherever it is there. So here the statement occurring in the Taittiriya Upanishad third chapter called the Bhriguballi. That is what is kept in mind. In that chapter, the first canto of that chapter, Yato va ima nibhuta nijayante ye najata nijivanti yat prayante visamvishanti tad vijignyasasva tad brahmeti. That from which these things, these beings are born, that by which when born they live, that into which departing they enter, that you seek to know, that is Brahman. That is the advice was given to Bhrigu by Varuna, his father. So this Bhriguballi Vakyam is Brahma Tatastha Lakshana Vakyam. Now let us see what it is. Yato va imani bhutani jayante. Brahman, it says Brahman is Srishti Karanam. Imani bhutani jayante. The entire bhutam, all these bhutas come from. Yena jatani jivanti. Brahma is the Sthiti Karanam, sustained by them. By the Brahman, all of them. Yet prayante visamvishanti, Brahma is the laya karanam. Tad Brahma, jagat srishti sthiti laya karanam Brahma. That is the meaning of this particular Upanishadic statement. This is the Vishaya Vakyam of the second sutra. With this, now we are concluding. the general analysis of this sutra. Now we have to go to the next step, which is word analysis. I already told in the beginning, we are going to analyze every sutra using these three things. First, a general analysis we'll give, then we will do word analysis, and then we will also do a conclusion. And for each of them, there are parameters which I have already described. And the first word in this sutra is Janmadi. Janmadi is a compound word. It consists of two words, Janma and Adi. Simply put, Janma, etc. Janma, Adi means Janma, etc. Or Srishti, etc. And now Shankaracharya points out, etc. includes two more phenomena also, namely Stiti and Laya. Therefore, it is Bahuvrihi compound. I am going to mention briefly about that in maybe in the next lecture, perhaps, about the samasas, Bahuvrihi and the samasas, some information on that. So indicating Srishti, Stiti, Laya, of course, of this universe. So now, one Purvapakshi, he gives another suggestion. Shankaracharya has interpreted Janmadi as Srishti, Stiti, Laya, so three phenomena to the universe. That is, it refers to Janmadi Trayam, Srishti, Stiti, Laya, Trayam, all these three. Now this Purvapakshi, he says that there is another book called Niruktam. Niruktam of a famous muni called Yaska Muni. All are there in the Bhashyam. So Yaska Muni Pranitam Niruktam. So in that Nirukta work, Niruktam means etymology. In that Nirukta work, Yaska points out every object in creation goes through sixfold phenomena. He calls it as Shad Bhava Vikaraha, modifications. Vikaraha means modifications, changes. Bhavaha means Padartha. So therefore, Shad Bhava Vikaraha means six conditions or states or modifications or six phenomena. And to enumerate them, he starts the enumeration with Janma. Janma, Janma means the creation. Asti, Asti means potential, it is in potential form, potential existence. Jayate, it is born. Vardate, grows. Viparinamate, matures, changes. Apakshiyate, decays, and ends with Vinashyati, it dies. I hope you remember this again from Tattva Bodha, all from Tattva Bodha. So now refers to this, there it is said when referring to Stula Shariram, the gross body. So the only difference is in Tattva Bodha, we started with Asti Jayate Vardate, whereas Yaska Muni, he starts in his Nirukta Grantha, starts with Jayate and then Asti. First one is Janma. Therefore, from Nirukta, we come to know that every object in the creation goes through Janmadi Shatkam, according to this particular scholar. Six changes. Therefore, the suggestion of the Purvapakshi is in the Sutra, when Vyasacharya writes Janmadi, Shankaracharya takes it as Janmadi Trayam. And the Purvapakshi suggests Janmadi Shatkam. Therefore, Brahman is Janmadi Shatka Karanam and not Janmadi Traya Karanam. That is his argument. And Shankaracharya gives two answers for that. And the first answer is what? Yaska's Nirukta Grantha, that is etymology, it is derivation of Vedic words. While studying the Mundaka Upanishad, we discussed this word in Nirukta. In Mundaka Upanishad, there is a particular statement, Tatra para rigvedo yajur vedaha, sama vedo atharva vedaha, siksha kalpo vyakaranam niruktam chando jyotishamiti. That is the statement we saw in Mundaka Upanishad. There we saw Nirukta. Nirukta means shastram of derivation of Vedic words. And there are many Nirukta words, but most famous is Yaska Pranitam Nirukta, among the so many other words. And Shankaracharya points out, after all, Yaska is a human being. Therefore, Nirukta is what? A Paurusheya Grantha of a human origin. If he discusses modification, Janmadi Shatkam, he can talk about objects within the creation only. He cannot discuss the whole universe because human intellect does not have the access to study the Jagat Karanam. he cannot talk about origin of akasha, vayu and agni utpatti and all that thing, because he himself came after all those came. So he cannot talk about the pancha bhuta utpatti at all. Therefore, Yaska's discussion is confined to Baudhika Prapancha, the object obtaining within this universe, like a human body, buildings, those things. Therefore, Janmadi Shatkam is with respect to only Baudhika Prapancha, objects within creation. Here, what we are doing, we discuss about the whole cosmos, including the Baudhika Prapancha, Bhuta, Desha, Kala, Utpatti, space, time, creation, all of them. Therefore, since the context is Samashti Prapancha, Yaska's discussion is irrelevant in discussion of Jagat Karana Brahma. That is Shankaracharya's approach. And further, Purvapakshi doesn't keep quiet. He gives an answer. Why you say Yaska's work is Paurushaya Grantha? Why can't you say his book is also based on Shruti Pramana? If Nirukta is taken as a Smriti Grantha, the advantage is what? Even though it is Paurushayam, it gets validity of Apaurushaya Grantha, similar to Brahma Sutra. Because it is not his intellectual produce, but based on Shruti Pramanam. Like the Bhagavad Gita, all Smriti Granthas are Paurushaya Granthas only, but they enjoy Apaurushaya status, because they are based on Shruti Pramanam. That is why Kalidasa says, Shruti Shrute Shrute Rivartam Smriti Ranta Gachati. He said, so Smriti Ranva Gachati, but because they are all from Shruti Vakyams only. So Smriti discusses a topic based on Shruti. Therefore, Smriti also must be given as much Apaurushaya status. So the Purvapakshi says, Janmadi Shatkam can be taken as dealing with the entire cosmos. Because even though he cannot independently discuss the entire cosmos, his discussion is based on Shruti Pramana only, based on Vedas. Therefore, Yaska's views are relevant to us. What is the advantage? Then the meaning of Janmadi will be Janmadi Shatkam instead of Janmadi Trayam. The six aspects are not three, for which Acharya gives the answer now. He says, you say Yaska's Vakyam is relevant because it is borrowed, it has borrowed validity. But I comment based on original intrinsic validity of Shruti Vakyam. So now tell me which one is better. I depend directly on Shruti, which talks about Janmadi Trayam and not Janmadi Shatkam, because Shruti talks about only Janmadi Trayam. Therefore, the answer is Yaska deals with only Baudhika Prapancha and we deal with Bhuta Baudhika Prapancha. So we have to take the Shruti Pramana only. Therefore, Janmadi should be taken as Shrishti, Sthiti, Bhanga. Acharya uses the word Bhanga for Laya. This is the first answer he gives. And the second answer is a simple answer. Vyasacharya has written the entire Brahma Sutra to analyze Vedanta Vakyas. That is why it is called Vedanta Sutrani also. I introduced this term earlier. And it is also called Uttara Mimamsa Sutrani. So the very name suggests that the started purpose of Brahma Sutra is analysis of Vedanta Vakyas. Therefore, when Vyasa uses the word Janmadi, one should give the meaning in keeping with Vedanta Vakyas and not Nirukta or any other Vedanta Vakyas. Then if it is the analysis of Yaska's statements, it will not be Vedanta Sutrani, then it will be what? It will be Nirukta Sutrani. Therefore also, we should give the meaning in keeping with Vedanta Vakyam, which deals with Janmadi Trayam only. Therefore, Janmadi means Srishti, Sthiti, Laya of the Jagat, the universe. Then what about Shat Vikaras? Because the Shat Vikaras, we are very familiar from Tattva Bodha itself. We certainly will include them also in these three. In these three also, we will include that in those six. Therefore, the primary meaning of the Janmadi is Srishti, Sthiti, Laya only. But by implication, we may include the other three also. So the first, the Purvapakshi, his first objection is answered. Now comes the second objection from the Purvapakshi. He says, in Vedanta and Shastras, that Srishti, Sthiti and Laya are a cyclic process. You Vedantins do not accept a linear creation at all. They are telling the Vedanta. If this Srishti is because of Purva Karma, and its Purva Karma is because of its own Purva Karma, then you will ask how the first karma came. This is the common question people always ask. And the Vedantin circumvents this by saying it is a cyclical process. It's a cyclical process. Janma, karma, janma, karma, janma, karma goes on forever. And all indicate that Srishti, Sthiti, Laya is a cyclic process. And what is the pramanam we have? Actually, in Bhagavad Gita itself, the Lord said, avyakta avyaktaya sarvaha prabhavantyaha ragame ratriyagame praliyante tatraiva avyakta sanyake. 8th chapter. Avyaktadini bhutani yaktamadhyani bharata avyakta nindanan eva tatraka paridevana. Again, 7th chapter. So, all these indicate Srishti, Sthiti, Laya will be followed by again Srishti, Sthiti, Laya endlessly cyclically. And having quoted our statement, the Purvapakshi says, if Srishti, Sthiti, Laya is cyclic process, you cannot say which one is beginning then. Srishti, Sthiti, you are saying Srishti is beginning. If it is cyclical, you cannot then say Srishti is beginning. It can be anything. The beginning point is an end point also. This being so, the Purvapakshi asks, how did Vyasacharya say Janma Adi Asya Etaha? Because the word Adi means beginning with. Janma Adi means Janma Adi Asya means that Jan. So it means starting from Janma. So the translation should be what? The three phenomena of the world beginning with Janma is the statement. And Purvapakshi asks how it is taken as beginning with Janma. Why not beginning with Laya? Being a cyclical process, that is the question. Like, so it instead of saying, you know, janma adi, we can say stityadi. So, alayadi. Why it should be janma adyaseyataha? And Shankaracharya gives two answers for that. Even though it is a cyclical process, the first answer is, even though it's a cyclical process, and therefore we cannot talk about the beginning in this phenomena, our comprehension goes in a particular order. In the events, there is no order. But in our understanding, this is called pratipatti, there is an order. How? If I have to talk about laya of something, the topic of laya presupposes what? The existence, sthiti of the thing. Whatever does exist only can have an end. So an existing thing alone can have resolution. Again, if I have to talk about the existence of something, that existence presupposes what? The origin. So understanding of laya presupposes the concept of sthiti, and understanding of sthiti presupposes the concept of srishti or origin. That is why in our common parlance also, once a child is born, one can talk about existence, and once existence is there and later one can talk about laya. So Shankaracharya says the understanding requires this logical sequence. As Swami Dayan says, born is gone. He uses this statement. Born is gone. Born refers to srishti. Is refers to sthiti. And gone refers to laya. So born is gone. Therefore, pratipatti kramaha is presented by Vyasacharya here. The order of comprehension, the understanding. So vyavaharika drishtya, this is the first answer. So the conclusion is what? Janma adi only, we should say, not sthiti adi or laya adi. And the second answer is what? After all, Vyasacharya writes a sutra, keeping a shruti vakyam in mind. So one cannot blame Vyasacharya for anything. Why? His aim is analysis of the Upanishad vakyam. When he writes the sutra, he keeps the Shruti Vakyam, Upanishad Vakyam in mind. Even though there is no order, because it is cyclical, Shruti gives a particular order, the Veda gives. Therefore, choice of the order is not of Vyasacharya. The choice of the order is that of the Veda. If you have objection to the order, please go and ask whom? Ishvara, who is the author of the Shruti. Not only Vyasa, one will find anywhere also in the scriptures the same order being maintained. Bhava pyayauhi bhutanam shrutav vistara shomaya tvatta kamala patraksha mahatmyam idi chavyayam. Gitacharya, said in the last chapter. Bhava apyayauhi bhutanam. Bhavaha means janma. Apyayaha means layaha. So in Gita also, that is the order. Arjuna says, I have heard from you in detail about the origin and dissolution of beings and your immutable glory. And also in Srimad Bhagavatam also begins with, there is a Dhyana Shloka in Srimad Bhagavatam. Janmadhyasya yatonvayadi taratas charteshva vignaswarat tene brahma hridaya adikavaye mukhyanti yatsurayaha tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrishaha dhamna svena sadha nirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi dharma pronjida kaita votra paramom. So the second sloka. So janma, the first one. Second is dharma, which deals with brahman and dharma. So what is the brahman? So it is also in Srimad Bhagavatam also, that's the krama. And what is brahman? Janmadhyasayataha. Actually, in because, you know, my Matrubhasha is Tamil, so I have to at least say something from Tamil language also. Of course, it's valid for all Indian languages. In every language, there are literature. In Tamil literature, there is a text called the Kamba Ramayana. The Ramayana is written by a poet called the Kamba. So we have got so many Ramayanas. This one. Ulakam yavayum tamula vakkalum nilai peruttalum neekalum neengalaham அலகில அவிளையாட்டுடையார் அவர் தலைவர் அன்னவர் கேசரண்ணாங்களே. உலகம் யாவையும் தாம் உளவாக்கலும் நிலைபெருத்தலும் நீக்கலும். உளவாக்கல் மீன்ஸ் கிரியேட்டிங், நிலைபெருத்தல் ஸ்திதி, அண்ட் நீக்கல் மீன்ஸ் லயா. சேம் ஆர்டர். தெர்ஃபோர் ஆல் ஸ்ருதி ஸ்மிருதி இதிகாசாஸ் புராணாஸ் கிரந்தாஸ் இன் ஆல் லாங்குவேஜஸ், ஆல் ஆஃப் கோர்ஸ் பாரதிய லாங்குவேஜஸ், தே டாக் அபவுட் ஜென்மாதி அலோன். Therefore, Janmadi alone is correct. So now with this, we will also complete the word analysis of Janmadi. Now we have to come to the next word, Asya. Asya, as I told, is a simple pronoun of this. That's what it means. So Srishti, Stiti, Laya of this. And Vyasa does not say what is meant by this, because a pronoun can stand for any noun. Since Vyasa has not mentioned any particular noun, we should include all nouns for this pronoun. Therefore, Asya. Asya means Sarvasya Jagataha, Samastasya Jagataha. And Vyasacharya has used this pronoun, the pronoun this, and not that. According to grammar, pronoun this is used for something that is available in front. If it is not accessible in front, then we will use the pronoun that. Therefore, final meaning is what? Final asya is pratyaksha gocharasya prapanchasya. The sixth case of this should be connected with the previous word, srishti, sthiti, laya. So when we combine these two, we get the final meaning. What is that? Pratyaksha prapanchasya srishti sthiti layaha, the origin, etc., of this visible objectifiable universe takes place because of which cause? That cause is Brahman. With this, the meaning of the word asya is also over. Now the third word, yataha. Yataha, Acharya writes, yasmat karanat sambhavati tad brahma, because of which cause all these things take place. All these means what? The pratyaksha prapancha srishti sthiti laya, whatever is the entire cosmic makeup. Now the question is, which karanam Shruti refers to, Veda refers to here? The karanam also is twofold, namely nimitta karanam and upadana karanam. All these definitions, I expect you know. If you don't know, please refer to Tattvabodhaniya lectures. Nimitta karanam means the instrumental cause, upadana karanam means the material cause. To use actually Swami Dayanand this expression again, the maker, the nimitta karanam, and material, the upadana karma, the maker and material. So both are required for any karyam to take place, for any effect, for any product. Directly we can come to our conclusion that since Vyasacharya talks of srishti sthiti laya karanam here, we can say directly karanam refers to upadana karanam. The reason is what? Nimitta karanam or intelligent cause is responsible only for creation, srishti of a thing, and not for sthiti and laya. Nimitta karanam is defined, for example, if you take a pot, the potter is the nimitta karanam to make the pot. He creates the pot. But for pot to sustain or pot to grow, he is not required. It can happen by any means. So nimitta karanam is defined as srishti matra karanam, only srishti creation. Whereas material cause, upadana karanam, is defined as srishti, sthiti, laya karanam. So for all the three. So therefore, the primary meaning of yataha is what? Is upadana karana. And here it is not srishti matra karanam, but it is srishti, sthiti, laya karanam, because janma dhyadi. Therefore, yataha means srishti, sthiti, laya karana. And later on inquiry, we find jagat cannot have two karanams. In case of worldly objects, we can have separate nimitta and upadana karana. But we are talking about the cause of the entire universe, which includes even space and time, desha and kala. So we talk about karanam, which is beyond space and time. We have seen in Dakshinamurti Stotram, the beauty, maya kalpita desha kala kalanam vaichitrya chitrikritam. Maya kalpita desha kala kalana vaichitrya chitrikritam. If we talk about that cause, which is beyond desha and kala, space and time, that karanam should be ekam eva advitiyam. It has to be only one. Ekam one eva only advitiyam without two. So it's also precious. Anyway, we have seen all that in the Upanishads. So we can say it should itself serve as upadana karanam. And as there is no second thing, it itself should serve as nimitta karanam also. Therefore, the second meaning of the word yataha means what? Nimitta karanam also. And the direct primary meaning is upadana karanam. And since there is no separate nimitta karanam, we have to include nimitta karanam also. Therefore, the final meaning of yataha is abhinna nimitta upadana karanat. Yator nanabhi srijate grinnate cha. We saw that statement in Mundaka Upanishad. Urnanabhi means the spider. As a spider is both the material cause and the instrumental cause for creating the web, spider's web. The final meaning of the word yataha is that from which material and intelligent cause the world has srishti, sthiti, laya. That abhinna nimitta upadana karanam is Brahman. So now if you put the definition in Sanskrit, yasmatim abhinna nimitta upadana karanate asya pratyaksha prapanchasya srishti sthiti layaha sambhavanti tat abhinna nimitta upadana karanam Brahman. That is the definition. Now one more step we should go. In the definition, Brahman is that from which srishti, sthiti, laya takes place, we already said. And Shruti uses the word yato va ima nibhuta nijayante ke najata nijivanti yat prayante visamvishanti tad brahma. That from which srishti, sthiti, laya takes place. So the Upanishad uses the pronoun that from which, that. But it does not say that from which. That is homework for whom? Bhrigu, because his father Varuna, he approached his father. So actually in Taittiri Upanishad, this is the third chapter, if you remember the context of Bhriguvalli, Bhrigu, the son of Varuna, he approached his father for his for self-knowledge. And Varuna, the father, did not want to give the complete knowledge teaching to him. And he said that X, from which srishti, sthiti, laya takes place, that is Brahman. Go and find what it is. So he gave that homework to his son, Bhrigu. Using yataha, he gave only the tatastha lakshanam and not swarupa lakshanam of Brahman. So that was left for the Sishya to do homework, to inquire and find out. And Bhrigu was an intelligent Sishya, and therefore అన్నం బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్, ప్రాణో బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్, మనో బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్. హీ వెంట్ ఆన్ అనలైజింగ్ ఈచ్ వన్. అన్నం ఫుడ్, దెన్ ప్రాణ, దెన్ మనస్, విజ్ఞాన, ఆల్ దాట్. సో హీ సబ్స్టిట్యూటెడ్ ది లెటర్ ఎక్స్ బై అన్నం, ప్రాణ, మనహ, విజ్ఞాన, అండ్ ఫైనలీ హీ డిస్కవర్డ్ ఆనందో బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్. ఆనందాద్యేవ కల్విమాని భూతాని జాయంతే, ఆనందే నజాతాని జీవంతి, ఆనందం ప్రయంత్య విషం విశంతీతి. సైషాభా ఆర్ఘవీ వారుణి విద్యా పరమే వ్యో మన్ ప్రతిష్ఠిత. హీ కన్క్లూడెడ్ ఆనంద ఇస్ బ్రహ్మన్. సో దట్ ఎక్స్ ఈస్ ఆనంద స్వరూపం బ్రహ్మ. దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ హీ కన్క్లూడెడ్, బికాస్ ఆఫ్ విచ్ సృష్టి, స్థితి, లయ టేక్స్ ప్లేస్. సో ది వర్డ్ యతహ మీన్స్ ఆనంద స్వరూపం బ్రహ్మ, విచ్ ఇస్ ది స్వరూప లక్షణం ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ. సో జగత్ కారణం ఇస్ తటస్థ లక్షణం ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మన్. అండ్ నౌ వీ హ్యావ్ సీన్ ది త్రీ మీనింగ్స్ ఫర్ యతహ. ఫస్ట్ వీ సెడ్ యతహ ఇస్ ఉపాదాన కారణం. Next, yataha is nimitta karanam. And now we say yataha is ananda swarupam cha. And now if you have to reword the sutra, how we have to write now? Yasmatim prapanchasyam abhinna nimitta upadhana karanatim ananda swarupatim asya pratyaksha prapanchasyam srishti sthiti layaha sambhavanti tat abhinna nimitta upadhana karanam ananda swarupam brahma bhavati. That should be the elongated sutram. Therefore, the word yataha reveals abhinna nimitta upadana karanam, which is tatastha lakshanam, and ananda swarupam, which is swarupa lakshanam. Primarily it is tatastha lakshanam, and indirectly it is swarupa lakshanam. Therefore, this sutra is called Brahma Lakshana Sutram, tatastha swarupa lakshanadvaya sutram. Lakshanadvaya means both the lakshanas. With this, the word analysis of yataha is over. So general analysis is over, word analysis is over of each word. Now two more words are left, which were not written by Vyasacharya, that we said earlier. We supplied those two words, tad brahma, that is brahma. So Acharya, Shankaracharya adds one more feature of brahman also. We have already seen three features. Which are the three features? Upadana karanam, nimitta karanam, and ananda swarupa. Now Shankaracharya arrives at one more feature. It is based on the idea, once we know the intelligent cause, the amount of intelligence can be inferred from the nature of the product. I mean, look at the granularity of details. The amount of intelligence can be inferred from the nature of the product creator. Greater the product is, more intelligent must be the creator. Seeing the nature of children, for example, what they say, oh, these parents are very blessed to raise such, give birth to such nice children, or the other way also. Similarly, from the nature of shishyas, the capacity of the guru is also assessed. So every guru takes a risk. Therefore, this is the general thing. As the product is, so must be the intelligence. Now the Acharya says, if you see the vibhuti of the world, the glory of the world, its greatness, then we can definitely conclude that Brahman or Ishvara is Sarvajnaha, Sarvashaktiman. Here we have to understand one thing. When Brahman is seen as Karanam, he gets the name Ishvara. Actually, this all we should be very familiar again with Tattva Bodha. Please refresh all the times. So Vishwa, Virat, Taijasa, Hiranyagarbha, and Prajna, Ishvara, all these we have already mentioned. Therefore, in this context, we indiscriminately use the word Brahman and Ishvara. Because we discuss the Karanatvam, we use it like that. And to establish the Sarvajnatvam and the Sarveshwaratvam, Shankaracharya talks about the glory of the universe. So by giving four adjectives in his commentary in the original Bhashyam, actually my original intent was to read the entire Bhashyam for each sutra and then give the general commentary on them, the meaning on them. But that I thought would be too involved. So I will take only some portions of the sutra original itself, of the Bhashya original itself, but I will explain the entire Bhashyam based on the entire commentary. Here Acharya writes in his Bhashyam, Asya jagato namarupabhyam vyakritasya aneka kartru boktru samyuktasya ప్రతినియత దేశకాల నిమిత్త క్రియాఫల ఆశ్రయస్య మనసాప్య చింత్య రచనారూపస్య జన్మస్థితి భంగం యతః సర్వజ్ఞాత్ సర్వశక్తేహే కారణాద్ భవతి తద్ బ్రహ్మేతి వాక్యశేషః. ఆచార్య రైట్స్ అ బ్యూటిఫుల్ సెంటెన్స్ హియర్. సీ నౌ లెట్ అస్ ఈచ్ అదర్ అడ్జెక్టివ్స్ ఇన్ ద భాష్యం. ఫస్ట్ వన్ ఇస్ వాట్ నామరూపాభ్యాం వ్యాకృతస్య. బ్రహ్మన్ హ్యాస్ క్రియేటెడ్ ఎ వెల్ డిజైన్డ్ యూనివర్స్. వన్ కెనాట్ సే ఇట్ ఈస్ సంథింగ్ సమ్ ఎవల్యూషన్ బై అన్ యాక్సిడెంట్, సమ్ బిగ్ బ్యాంగ్ హ్యాపన్ అకార్డింగ్ టు స్క్రిప్చర్స్. ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ సమ్ యాక్సిడెంట్. వీ కెనాట్ అక్సెప్ట్ ఈవెన్ అన్ ఆర్డినరీ వర్క్ ఆఫ్ అ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ బై యాక్సిడెంట్. హౌ క్యాన్ వీ సే ద హోల్ వరల్డ్ హ్యాస్ యాక్సిడెంటలీ టేకెన్ ప్లేస్? Therefore, nama rupabhyam vyakrutasya. Hence, it has a chetana karta, a sentient being, an intelligent person is required to create the universe. And next object, aneka kartru boktru samyuktasya. This universe has countless jivas who are kartas and boktas. And by this, what Acharya means? Jivas themselves fall within the creation as a product. Therefore, the producer must be a non-jiva. All jivas fall within the creation as products. Therefore, the producer should be a non-jiva. Therefore, jiva bhinnatvam is mentioned. Jiva, the Brahman is separate from the jiva. And not only he is jiva bhinnaha, he must be omniscient also. Because prati niyata దేశ కాల నిమిత్త క్రియాఫల ఆశ్రయస్య. వి ఫైండ్ దట్ దర్ ఇస్ నో యాక్సిడెంట్ ఇన్ క్రియేషన్. ఎవ్రీ ఈవెంట్ ఈస్ అన్ ఇన్సిడెంట్ కాస్డ్ బై స్పెసిఫిక్ టైమ్, ప్లేస్, స్పెసిఫిక్ రీజన్. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ కాస్మాస్, అదర్వైజ్ ఇట్ విల్ బి కేయాస్ ఓన్లీ. ఎనీ యాక్సిడెంట్ ఈస్ అన్ ఇన్సిడెంట్ ఫార్ విచ్ వీ డూ నాట్ నో ది రీజన్. Therefore, if you take countless number of jivas, every jiva experiences caused by desha, kala, nimitta, and there are countless jivas going through countless experiences. Imagine the amount of knowledge required to run this great master show in keeping with space, time, nimitta, all of them. It requires infinite intelligence, so sarvajnyatvam. And not only that, there are certain instances common to many jivas that Lord has to design that event in such a way that for one and the same event, it should give punya palam to certain people and the same event should give papa palam to other jivas because they are all the selves of their own karma. For example, if you take Brahma Sutra class itself, the class itself is good to one person and it is not understandable to the other. Actually, one person made a mention to me, as a physicist, I can understand superposition, but this Adhyasa Bhashyam seems too difficult, even though there is a superposition. So that is how Ishwara designs the whole process. Class event remains the same. Bhagavan makes it in such a way that one person is able to relate it one way, other person is able to relate it another way. From one standpoint, it may be punyam, another standpoint may be pavam. So within punya papa alone there are gradation again. See what a design it should be. Every event is designed according to karma phalam of countless jivas. Now we are still talking only humans, understand. Whereas Lord has to take into account all other creations like animals, plants and everything. So therefore it is a masterly creation which can be done by sarvajnaha only. Therefore, the first adjective proves it is chetana karta. In the bhashyam, the sentences I read, the first adjective, that sentence reads, it is chetana karta. And second is, that proves it is jiva binnaha. It should be a non-jiva, different from a jiva. And the third adjective proves he is sarvajnaha. Then Shankaracharya uses the fourth adjective. Manasa api achintya rachana rupasya. A scientist can know how the brain functions, but he cannot create a brain. Therefore, even if we know the functioning of many things in creation, we have only the knowledge of it, but we cannot create one. We cannot reproduce any of God's creation. a liver or heart, all those things. Not only there are machines, but they are not sentient things. Not only Lord is omniscient, Lord also is omnipotent. And he has enough power to implement the knowledge and create the whole world inconceivable by us. The ants we can see, we can even destroy them, spray whatever it is to destroy so many ants, but we cannot produce even one ant. Similarly, we talk of producing rain, test tube babies, all that. We admire scientists, but we have to understand the limitations of science. Many things inconceivable the Lord has implemented, and he is Sarva Shaktiman. Why Sarva Karanatvat? I will take a few more minutes, just a couple of minutes. So Sarva Karanatvat, so Vetirekana Kulalavate. Kulalavate means the potter. We again unway Vetireka logic. And now Dhyan Swami says nicely here, Ghatasya Karta Ghatagnyaha. Patasya Karta Patagnyaha, Sarvasya Karta Sarvagnyaha. He is Sarva Shaktiman Ishvara. So the fourth feature is what? Sarvagnyaha, Sarva Shaktiman. So this is the final meaning of the sutra. So now if we now rearrange the sutra now, yes, matim, abhinna nimitta upadana karanatim, ananda swarupatim, sarvagnyate, sarva shakta, sarva shaktat also we can say, sarva shaktatim, prapanchasyam, srishti stiti layaha sambhavantim, tat brahma. With this, Acharya concludes his commentary of the second sutra. And after this conclusion, he enters into a discussion by introducing a Purva Pakshim. He is a Nayayika Purva Pakshim. Since that discussion is a useful discussion, we will see that also in the next class, that is tomorrow. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishthitah Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasamaheshwarah Shri Krishna.